listeners. This edition of the Fallscast, we're pleased to have Chief Martin of the Cuyahoga Falls Fire Department. And we're going to kind of go over some of the changes within the department and talk a little bit about what his goals are as chief. So I guess I'll start. How long have you been a firefighter?
Well, thanks for this opportunity. I love to have the chance to talk about the fire department and everything that we have going for us. I was hired in July of 1999. I've been at all ranks now of the fire department. I spent 9 years as a firefighter. I was promoted to lieutenant, which for us is company officer. So every station that we have here in the city, we have 5 stations. Each station is assigned a lieutenant. That lieutenant is in charge of the building and their crew for the shifts. Still working the 24/48s, but that's a company officer level.
Okay.
We have 6 of those per shift, so 5 stations, 5 lieutenants, and then we have a traveling lieutenant that fills in when another lieutenant is off.
Okay, vacation, sickness, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yep. So 9 years as a firefighter, then after 5 years as a lieutenant, I was promoted to captain. A captain is a shift commander, so you're in charge of the entire shift operations. We have 3 shifts, A, B, and C shift. Each of those platoons have a 24-hour work cycle, and when you're a captain, we've actually recently renamed that position to battalion chief, which is more appropriate, an indicator of what they do every day. So you're in charge of the entire shift. You're in charge of...
And in your world, a shift is not like, I just got done with my 8-hour shift. In your world, a shift is 24 hours.
Well, the full 24 hours, all 5 stations, all of the calls that occur in those 24 hours, you have to dispatch the correct units, make sure people are where they are, make sure the responses are going accurately. You handle all the mutual aid requests. You handle every shift operation that occurs while you're on duty, plus all of the other administrative roles as far as pay sheets and tracking time off and granting trades and everything else that goes into running a shift.
All the administrative part of the job
as well. All the administration, yeah, of the shift at that level. As well as we place a high priority on mentorship and leadership and personnel development. So our battalion chiefs have a large role because they are really the link between the chief officers and fire admin and the crews.
Now, is your line of work similar to what other trades are going through, where you're starting to see now that if you don't start hiring young people in the next 4 to 5 years, there's going to be some serious problems?
Well, we've always hired the best candidate no matter what. We've hired I'll get this wrong, but we've hired candidates in their 30s before, and we'll hire our candidate. We have someone on our roster right now that isn't old enough to buy a beer. They're not even 21 years old yet. If you are good enough and if you meet our requirements,
qualified, yeah.
you're who we want, we'll come get you. So to specifically, are we hiring young? No, that's something we've always consistently done. If you're the right fit, we're gonna bring you on. What we've seen and what matches what is going on in the employment issues that everyone's having in every industry, you're not having as many people show up to take tests to apply for jobs as we have in the past. I know that the police department just posted a test, and they only had 19 people show up to take it. That's down from triple figures historically.
Yes.
When I got hired in 99, there was 600 people that took the test, that we hired 8. Those numbers have gone down over the past. The last test that we gave, we were right about 100 people that applied, and that's a really solid number, and we're still getting outrageously competent, good people. We're still hiring very well here, but the numbers are sliding. Public safety in general and the public sector in general is declining as far as interest in the younger generation to come out. We posted a test yesterday, and we're giving an entrance exam July 18th. We waited to post it because the city's online application software wasn't ready until Monday. So we're the guinea pigs of the city.
You're gonna try it out on you guys first.
We're going, and it's out there, and it's posted, ready to go. So I spent 5 years battalion chief, then I got promoted to assistant chief. I was assistant chief for 2.5 years, and then I took over as chief July of last year.
Okay, I remember the meeting when that was all discussed, yeah. And it was discussed ahead of time, which is what I thought was pretty neat, too. Yeah.
The transition was smooth.
Yeah, there was plenty of time for that.
Yeah.
I guess with that, we're going to talk about some of the goals that you laid out then or some of the vision that you had for the department. And I do know that a lot of it had to do with training.
Yeah.
And with the promotion of another firefighter to training officer, kind of explain how all this is going to fit in. I know at budget time, mm-hmm. you were really excited about what you were going to be able to do with your share of some of the federal funding we got. But yeah, let's go where that is.
Yeah, so what we have here, from a global perspective, we couldn't be happier with where all of the accomplishments that we've made from July to where as we sit here right now. It is tremendously exciting, and I can boast about that a little bit because we constantly get feedback as much as we possibly can, and throughout the ranks, people are excited. People are ready to come to work. We've raised expectations. We've instituted a higher level of accountability. All of the things that really good employees actually thrive, more structure, more communication, all of these things that are sometimes painful to implement have been accepted, and it's a welcome change from what we have gone through in the past even 20 years. Every initiative that we put out there, the best ideas so far, and this is probably a good microcosm of how we are here now, the best ideas that we've implemented in the last 11 months
yes.
have come from anybody but chiefs. The employees here, they have a voice. They have an idea, we listen, we try it out.
They're doing the job,
they should do it. You know, when we build trucks, we do it by committee. We build specs line by line for the trucks. I'm in charge of all of those procurements, but I don't really build them. I let the people that are going to use the trucks build them. So you take that approach everywhere throughout where you go, internally and externally when you're leading. You have a tremendous amount of productivity and buy-in and excitement. Yes, we had an enormous hole in training, and that was one thing that needed filled pretty much on an emergency basis. Were we good? Yep. Were we an outstanding department? Absolutely. But that's not good enough. We need to be the best.
And one of the things about more training is that your department is more attractive to people that are looking to become firefighters as well, I think.
It is. Inherently, it's a good recruitment tool, but really it is about keeping our members safe and obviously the community safe. And the better
we are at
our job, always. Safety is always priority one, and the more trained you are, the safer you are. And then the more trained you are, the quicker you are. And, you know, everything from property damage to quick rescues and quick searches, all of that plays in to how much quality training you can not only offer, but you can actually implement and follow through with. So the addition of a deputy chief that we placed in charge of training, there's an enormous amount of administrative burden that's been lifted off me and Jack Brees, our assistant chief. We can really focus in on more of the administrative things. And Matt Key, our new deputy chief, his focus, while he is helping us out a lot on the administrative end as well, his whole focus is going to end up being training. And he's going to be able to build, and he's taking his time. We're taking the next several months. We've had a very busy first half. Our EMS training has been, we did a paramedic refresher course. So within 3 months, the first 3 months of 2022, every component that you need for continuing education to stay a paramedic all sufficed in the first 3 months from that paramedic refresher course. It was hard. The guys really had to put their foot down or put their heads down.
They retest every six.
So you have to have X amount of hours. I'm going to get it wrong maybe, but I think it's 48 hours over the course of 3 years, and it has to be in certain topics. So 4 hours of geriatrics, 8 hours of trauma,
okay.
You know, that sort of thing. 12 hours of cardiology. You have to have a PALS certificate, an ACLS certificate. Those things we all accomplished in one quarter of the year. So now when you just look at EMS training for the next 2.5 years, We can train on whatever we feel like we need.
You've already met the state requirements. Now you're going to train to enhance.
So EMS training has been a big checkbox for us. And we had two acquired structures for live fire training.
I saw that. There was you had a couple council people come out and get involved with that too. Oh, and the mayor was involved as well.
We had some Woodridge school administrators. We had the mayor. We had department heads. We had some council members come out. And we showed them, and we put them through it. They were.
This is what we go through.
They worked hard. They did a phenomenal job, and I think had a lot of fun. But that's a tremendous amount of fire training that we got in the first 5 months of this year. So now we can spend the next 6 months as an administration really helping Matt build a foundation for his training division as we move forward. Matter of fact, as we speak, he's coming back from a meeting that he had with Akron Fire and their training division. To pick their brains, to maybe even start some joint trainings to get on the same page. Matt is like a sponge.
He's taking it in.
He is. He's learning everything, and he knows where we want to end up. So he's building that foundation right now, and for the next 4 or 5 months, he's going to be building the bones of a tremendous training program, all the while building and planning the training facility that we've got coming up.
Which brings us to that, I guess, practically naturally, but tell us about this the training facility. And now this is going in where the old Northampton Town Hall is, correct?
In that area. Yeah. So I'll preface it by saying all of this is subject to change. We have a tremendous amount of, it is weird when you're trying to build things this year. The lead times on materials, the cost of labor, projects, especially larger projects, are having to adjust. So when I say this is our plan moving forward, it's just that, a plan.
It's subject to whether or not somebody can actually come out and put up the bricks.
And whether the plan that you have right now is actually possible or feasible for the location. But the bare bones of our plan right now, the town hall, we're not going to change. The town hall, that's too historic.
Right, they're going to be doing some... They're going to be doing some renovations there and making it more handicapped accessible. And
we wouldn't touch the history that way. That's not who we are. So that building is staying. The plan is to demolish the two other buildings that are on that corner. One is a street building, and one is a house that the Parks and Rec Division owns. So those are slated to be demolished. The street department is getting a new building around the corner back by the Salt Barn, which is kind of behind the tennis courts there. They would get a new facility back there. It enhances their operations, puts them in one spot, and clears the area for what we have planned. The fire station itself would get sort of turned. So the best way to explain it is if you're coming out of the church parking lot there, you'd be looking at the front of the new fire station. So we're going to turn the station and scoot it up Bath Road
just a little bit
away from the intersection, which is not a great place to have a fire station right on an intersection, and it clears up a lot of space for us for the training facility behind the town hall, kind of where the street department building is, and kind of off to the side a little bit, but basically directly behind the town hall would be the 4 to 6 story training building that we could, it's a burn building, training prop that we can actually have fires, active fire in there. It's highly customizable when you go to build one of these structures. The one that we kind of like is it's a model of a two-story residence, and then attached to it is that 4 to 6 story.
4 to 6 story tower.
Yep, and we'll have 3 or 4 rooms that we'll design that you can actually set fires in. We'll have a smoke machine. We'll have we can rappel off the outside of it. We can. The police department's going to come in. They can do entries and searches and stuff. There is not a facility like that even close to us in the region. Portage Lakes Career Center has a building. It's not going to be as nice as ours, and it's currently out of service for maintenance and repairs.
And now, is this something that you would also, very similar to what Chief Davis has done with the shooting range, you would also invite other departments to come down and practice in?
Yes, absolutely. That has to take shape. We have to, you know, there's a lot of work on our end that has to get to the nuts and bolts of that. But we've already met a couple times with the University of Akron, and they're very excited about using that for their training in their classrooms. And every area department All of our neighbors are excited about coming in and using that for training.
That's good.
Yep. So if you imagine where that building is, between that building and then Northampton Road, we'll have a classroom with a couple of bays as well. So we'll have a dedicated fire engine out there, and we'll have a classroom as well.
Oh, that, okay.
So everything that you could want for fire training is
yeah, because it's been kind of piecemeal. I know there's a classroom at the fire station on Wyoga Lake, mm-hmm. and it's just been, this is going to centralize it all. And
yeah, we'll still use that. And one of the plans that we have for the future is potentially to move fire admin from Station 1 to Station 5. When the dispatchers move out and go to the COG, when that
right.
regional dispatch center opens up, we're going to examine whether or not fire admin is better off at Station 1, or if we're better suited to move out to Station 5 in that dispatch area.
Okay.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
Newer building, more energy efficient, yeah. and everything else for openers, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's ADA compatible already, and that's a concern. We feel like the fire chiefs, you know, our offices should be ADA compliant.
Sorry.
Compliant. That's
the word.
Yeah. So Station 5 has a lot to offer us, but we also have to weigh in that this is a historic building. It's a historic district, and maybe no decisions have been made there yet. So it's just something that we're.
It's still fluid and it's still in the works.
Yeah, we're still considering that as an option.
Yeah, I'm glad to see this going forward, and it's just once again, it's when we first moved here, it seemed that Cauga Falls had just gotten paramedics. And then other things that I remember just from going to city council meetings when Bob Leonard was chief, mm-hmm. there was at least one infrared hood on each
yeah.
truck. And most of that was done by public funding.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know what you call it now, the people that go online and try to solicit money. That was a very early version of that.
Let them GoFundMe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. GoFundMe. But what other technology are you looking at for the fire department on top of the training?
Those thermal imagers have come a long way. And I can tell you, just as off to the side, this isn't really unique to us. We've got at least 3 thermal imagers on every truck, and we have handheld thermal imaging on the command cars as well, and our marshals even have thermal imaging capabilities. So that technology has come a long way, and we've got cameras everywhere. They are amazing tools. So other technology, there's one in particular that we're just now rolling out. You'll see something coming pretty soon from NECO and Falls News. It's kind of a big push that we've been going through, and that's the usage of drones. So we launched pretty early in my tenure as chief. We've had drones here, and a lot of departments have drones, but we had from what I could tell, it was almost like having a tool in the toolbox that you could never use, because you only had so many people that were trained up and able to fly them. So I said, okay, how do we get a mass amount of our people trained up and licensed to fly these things? Because why do we own them if we can't put them up? You know, when you only have 3 or 4 people that can fly a drone, when you need it now, that's just not going to happen unless you just really get lucky. So we actually partnered with a man named Tyler Boring. He lives in Cuyahoga Falls. He's a commercial pilot, and he's got a drone consultant business that he runs on the side. We got to know Tyler. He got to know us.
He's the gentleman that makes all those incredible videos that get posted online, isn't he?
Yeah, could be. Okay. He walked us through the process to get what's called our COA, Certificate of, maybe it's aviation. I don't remember. I have a lot of projects. And this is one of those that I delegated out. Right now, as we sit here, not only do we have more drones, somewhere in the area of 8 drones, and we have those stationed at a central station that we can deploy at dispatch. We also have 15 pilots currently as we sit here, and we are also an entity that can train and help other departments and other agencies get massive amounts of pilots trained up.
So you went from 3 guys to now being able to hold your own plus train the masses.
Yes.
That's good.
Plus, the rest of our plan is to have every member trained up to the level of those 15 by this time next year. So you have to go through a lot of classroom stuff. I think there's 8 hours of classroom, and then there's 4 or 5 hours of practical, so you get it up and you have
actual flying time.
Right. And you have to pass a written test. Then you're ready to fly. I'm not a person that really believes that good enough is good enough. If we have 40 people, if we have 15 people, why do we not have all 69 line personnel, all admin? Let's get 74 people trained up on these drones so anybody at any time can grab the drone, grab the equipment, and put it up for us when we need it. So that's where we're going. And we're already the first in the area that would offer this amount of pilots and this amount of equipment. By the time we're done and our plan has reached its conclusion, the long-term plan,
yes,
no one's going to be even close to having their entire staff be able to fly it.
Then with the amount of the national park, mm-hmm, and this what's going on, you know, right next to us, how the sudden resurgence and the, mm-hmm, popularity of the river,
yep,
this is a pretty serious toll.
We don't even know all that we're going to use it for. It's just easy to see the drones are a part of the fire service and public safety moving forward in the future. So let's get out in front of it and let's use it. Let's get the best equipment and put everybody that we can on a controller. Valley Fire, just knowing that we are the drone people, already called us out for a search that they had in Kendall Hills. So we've already been out on one mutual aid call.
Your reputation is starting to precede you.
Before we've even released this, and actually we did the same for Talmadge, for a, I can't remember the specifics of that incident, but we've, just in the last month, even the last 6 weeks, we've already been called out and requested twice from mutual aid to go put a drone up. And we can do that without affecting daily staffing here too, because we have the ability to send a pilot or two out and maintain operations here.
The dispatch center,
mm-hmm,
the Council of Governments, yeah, in that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, we're excited about it. Right now, we're entrenched in meetings at the chief level with the other agencies. So there's seven.
So, just because you had brought up mutual aid a couple,
yeah,
times, I thought.
Oh, it's exciting.
And just from the way yourself and Chief Davis was talking about it, this looks like it's going to save lives, and it's definitely going to, yeah, up the process.
It's a tremendous upgrade. Not that our dispatchers and our dispatch center currently has really any deficiencies. When we look down the line, we know that there are some roadblocks and some obstacles that we wouldn't be able to overcome, from training to financial to duplicity. Just the staffing of your own dispatch center is a tremendous challenge. So we're moving from our own to a much, much bigger dispatch center where we have dedicated fire and EMS dispatchers. We have dedicated police dispatchers that are all going to be trained the same way, to the same level. There's going to be one point for supervisors. You know, if I have an issue with what's going on at dispatch, I'm going to have someone to talk to specifically. The training is going to be off the charts. The equipment is going to be...
I was going to say, the equipment that's in the trucks and being able to find my house.
Yeah.
There's a lot of technology that we would have never been able to afford if we were buying it on our own.
Safe to say. And the training requirements to maintain your own dispatch center were going to be...
Yeah, that's
just going
to be ridiculous.
It just wasn't going to happen. So we're planning it out now. It's going to take a long time to get all seven agencies from the fire end and EMS and all together on the same page, but we meet twice a month, and that's going to be, you know, we work very well with the other agencies that we're coming in with, and everybody wants the same thing. So it's going to be a long, difficult process, but we're doing it right. Hats off to everyone that's organizing this and really putting it into motion. They're doing a phenomenal job. The input's coming in from the right spots, and we're very confident in the process that when we're done, maybe a year from now, and we're rolling into that new dispatch center, it's going to be a tremendous upgrade for us.
I agree. Now, one of the questions we ask everybody that we interview, and it could be controversial, I don't know, but what's your favorite restaurant in Cuyahoga Falls?
Oh, boy, that is rough. So it depends on the mood you're in, doesn't it?
True.
And we don't go, I cook at home, so we do a lot of eating in. We do love Leo's, I'm not going to lie, but we love Butcher and Sprout. Hibachi Japan's always been a great spot for us.
It's close, too.
It is. We've been, you know, we live in Old Northampton, so On Tap is a place that we always find ourselves going to.
Nice since the remodel. Yep.
El Mason, if we're hungry for Mexican. To say that there's one is pretty darn difficult, but I'm going to go with my wife on this one. My favorite dinners are when it's just her and I eating out, and I'll go ahead and say Leo's. We like Leo's quite a bit.
All right. Well, we thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
I know you've got a busy schedule, and any people have any questions about the fire department or can't find answers on the website,
please call.
Okay.
If there's one thing people are learning about me from the public, number one, Cuyahoga Falls Fire Department, we are proud of our members, and we're putting ourselves out there front and center, from chamber outings and touch a truck events to our Falls Friday showdown that we just came off of.
Which was incredible.
That was great. And the truck pull that's coming up in September, our 9/11 ceremony. I believe that we've got a treasure in the people that work here, and everybody needs to see them and get to know them. It's awesome being a firefighter, and everybody should see the people that you have working for you. And they're, I always talk about our fleet and our trucks. We don't own them. You own them. You're a resident of Cuyahoga Falls. That's your truck that we manage and we get to use. Come see them. Come see the stations. Talk to the guys. And like I said, if people are learning anything about us, we can't wait for people to get to know us. And I'm more than happy to talk about the fire all day and all night.
All right. Well, thank you.
Fallscast is a production of the Falls Free Press in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. Please check out the Falls Free Press at fallsfreepress.com or on social media at facebook.com/fallsfreepress. We thank you for listening to this episode, which was recorded and edited by Bart Sullivan. Please subscribe to our podcast and tell your Cuyahoga Falls friends and family so they can listen as well.